3:38. Second, 3:39. First, he got into this discussion between concerning the relationship between the self and God. And that is so far from where he ended up. I'm not even going to bother talking about it. Then a shade appears. Anyway, we're into the scrutiny. A shade appears, and she's a dead woman.
Is that 3:39?
3:39. First column to 3:39, second column, and she talks about the importance of the symbol. 3:39, second column. The symbol is the symbol of the mediator. We need the symbol. We hunger for it. And so there you've got the foundation of Jung's dream work. We work with images. Then she says, Hap is the symbol that we desire. Hap, remember, was the phallus. And the phallus as an image of creative energy. Remember, the etymology of phallus is actually light bringer. And that goes back to that early dream of Jung's as a child. So that his creativity has to do with imagery. And then I think a really important sentence that has been guiding us, the enlightening thought comes from the body. That's that business of eros and creativity. And then in second, on 3:40, again she says, if heaven becomes pregnant and can no longer hold its fruit, it gives birth to a man who carries the burden of sin. 3:40 is second column.
Where is that?
Oh, sorry, let me back up. I forgot something. 3:40, the first column. Hap is not the foundation, but the summit of the church that still lies sunken.
It's like his dream.
Yeah, and I take that now as we're beginning to work on what's religion. Well, there is a church, but the church is not what we thought it was. The church is the fulfillment of bringing your talent to the world. The Hap would be the creative drive, is the summit of the church. I've told you the story before, but just as an illustration, when I worked with people who call themselves recovering Catholics, and they can't stomach the church anymore, but they miss the Mass. When they find their real purpose in life, their path, they dream of the Mass, and then they're satisfied. That's how I would give an example of that. That the Mass is now fulfilling your own being. And then, if heaven becomes pregnant and can no longer hold its fruit, it gives birth to a man who carries the burden of sin. So the heaven there, I think, would be what we'd call the unconscious. And if you've got unconscious potential, it's got to spill over into life. You've got to do something about it. Create in time and space what it once created, and you'll probably make mistakes along the way.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. No, probably. Then we get into community for a while, which I find interesting because he really doesn't talk much about community. That's kind of why I'm doing this Toynbee stuff.
Where does he start community?
3:40, second column. I think. Can't read my, is that right?
Shadow of a Dead, is that where you...
I belong to your invisible following and community. Is that 340? I can't read my writing.
340.
Yeah, second column. I think just a quick parenthesis, one of the things that it's helpful to remember, World War I and World War II was a mass organization of people. So that in the face of the idealization of the state and the nation, Jung is putting the individual. Because humanity had gotten so hyper-organized, we have just the opposite problem. Nobody will do anything for anybody else. So it's important to realize that there's a difference in historical context. So when he's talking about community, I think maybe the reason he didn't pursue it, community for him meant the Third Reich. That was community. And so he really doesn't develop it much. We have swung so far to the other side that it is now our job to say, okay, what does Jungian psychology have to do with the community? And that's touched on here, but then it's dropped. That's my understanding of why he didn't talk more about community. He talked so much about the individual because everything around was fascist obedience to a community or a group ideal or something like that.
Come, there's a letter in the paper this morning. He was digging on Obamacare, but it's pointless. It was during World War II, in 3 year time, he talked about how many ships we built, how many hundreds, thousands of planes, how many, all the stuff we did in 3 years, but all these men in uniform defeated the Third Reich, which defeated Japan's up, and in 3 years we can't get Obamacare together, get the ACA together.
That's...
look what we did in those 3 years as a nation, and we can't put this one simple thing together.
That is a really important comment.
Mm-hmm. That was partly because the Republicans refused to fund the
organization. Look how organized we got during the war.
All that
we did as a nation, and we can't get together and do this now.
Well, we can't seem to do anything.
It's one little simple thing.
Yeah, what can we do? Nobody gives a hoot about anybody else anymore.
Somebody wrote a book just recently about the civil rights legislation that was passed, I think, in 65. But that wasn't it. It's
sounds about right. Yeah.
Tell us what Coleman idea he's trying to explain.
Well, and this author, and I don't know the name of the book, or I've got it written down, but that the Congress would meet, how they would meet, and usually like bars, he said they all drank, and they all drank all day, and they would go to places and meet over passing the both sides. And, I mean,
yeah, I've read about that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, good, because I can't remember the name of it, but his point, if I got it, I didn't read the book, I wish I had the name now, that they really did, he said, he wanted to say they really tried to do, when it push came to shove, do what they thought, vote the way they believed to be right, and it was passed. And then the sad part is, there's none of that going on now. Mm-hmm. You know, just what you say, well, no, they can't get Obamacare off, there's nothing. They won't vote for the money, and Indiana won't even get all the money that we could pass in Medicaid.
The side of it is an idea whose time has come.
Yeah, is that it?
I think so.
Yeah, and this, I forget who interviewed the young author, but he said, you know, while the goose was flowing and they were meeting, they did really, he thought everybody wanted to pass legislation that would be best for this country, which then in common probably is not true now.
What?
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out. Why Jung doesn't talk more about community? And why he mentions it here, but then he seems to move on pretty quickly. So she says, I belong to your invisible following and community. Then she says to him, 341, the second column, it always begins with the church. Where is the church? Where is the community? I want the church. It is necessary for you. Well, you know, my own two cents is the church needs to be the fulfillment of the human being. And then maybe as a collective organization, it would be where people share their journeys. But I think what I see is it substitutes or prohibits that realization of talent. It's really become the problem, as we know it. Sorry.
There was an interview on Sunday, interviewing an insider. They were talking about the popularity of the new Pope and how everybody's supposed to always change and stuff. They were asking him, will that, his, you know, persona stuff, will that have any effect on Vatican and the Catholic Church? He said, they're so entrenched in the Vatican.
Yeah.
They're so entrenched, nothing's happened at all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they got Ratzinger out of there.
Yeah.
Before they all got sued for their lives.
Yeah, we didn't see them. Yeah.
Reformed Catholic.
Well, the point is, our communities, what we would look to for community, our government, Congress, our churches, what I don't know, do you say they're self-serving, they're greedy, they're worried about their power? I mean, some of those people are so rich, you think, why do they own somebody like Romney or the Koch brothers? They've got so much money, why?
Yeah, we were talking about that on Saturday, 85 people own half the world's wealth.
So what, it's not if it, because they can't even, they couldn't even find any more money that they made it. It must be something else, group power, right? Really,
well, keep that question open, because in a way, it may be what he's addressing. And, you know, well, yeah, just keep that question open. Okay, so the shade... Shade is the word used in, I probably said this in the Odyssey, for the ghosts of the dead. So you could say a ghost. That female disappears and his soul appears. He says to his soul, the dead want to live from me. Why do you see me as the one to drink the cess of humanity that poured out of Christendom?
On 341?
342, second column. Well, I would cite that to kind of substantiate what I have felt, that he saw the war as the underbelly of Christianity. Be more exact, we should say Christendom, the way Christianity has evolved. We have no idea whether it has anything to do with the original revelation. And that he is wrestling within himself the part of the psyche not symbolized by the Western spiritual viewpoint, and that he sees the war as another version of that. It hit him as sex, but it hit the Europe as violence. But it's the same outcropping of what Christendom hasn't been able to symbolize. A big, 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 did I say big?
No.
Moment, 343, second column. His soul agrees to be thrown in prison. He says to her, if I listen to everything you say, I'm just going to become intoxicated and it's time to start putting limits on you. And she agrees. So you see how far he's come. He's no longer driven by that eroticism. He's able to contain it. And then she says on 344, remove me from conceiving matter. Which I take to mean that conceiving matter would be erotic attraction for the body. And he has had to go that route to get to his soul. But now that link is being severed. He doesn't have to go that route anymore.
So he doesn't have to experience the spirit through sex anymore?
Right. Or at least the way to that transition is being laid. I don't know if it's happened yet, but the possibility is being built within him. That's huge. See, the problem with morality is you want to do it, but you don't do it. And it's always ready to burst out. And what he is trying to do is live through it. And he doesn't do it. He can refrain from doing it because he doesn't want to do it. It's the great difference between not doing it because you shouldn't and not doing it because you don't want to.
In your past, seeing the devil, maybe.
Yes, yeah. And that's a huge difference. Yeah. And so war would be all those things that people have wanted to do but didn't do because it was wrong. And then the tension broke up, built up, and it broke out. And he's trying to find a way to live that out so that you don't have that build up animal inside. That's one of the things he's accomplished, I think. And that's astounding. She says, I want to set to work. So by going through what he's gone through and separating her from matter, she can now begin to be his muse. She says, I want to set to work. But you must build the furnace, throw the old, the broken, the worn out, the unused, and the ruined into the melting pot so that it will be renewed for fresh use. So she's encouraging him to discover what the old paradigm is and to put his weight behind the new paradigm. Which is, you know, we've talked about that many. It's not power. It's probably easier to say what it isn't. It's not power. It's not hypocritical morality. It's not control. It's not manipulation. It's not dominance.
See, the furnace talk is on 344.
That is 345, second column. But to me, that is just a huge, huge transformation. And then 345, the second column, I did as my soul advised and framed in matter my thoughts she gave me. The thoughts she gave me.
Formed in matter.
What did I say?
Framed.
44, yes. Can't read my writing. So there he's coming to grips with the need to express it in writing, in print, in lectures, and in his psychological practice. A bad hair day, 346, first column, why can't you leave me in seclusion? And she says, you possess the word that should not be allowed to remain concealed. And as you're doing that Toynbee material, remember how we're dealing with the fact that it has to be shared in the return. Same idea, I think. Now we're at another transition point. We're moving toward the toward the seven sermons of the dead. 346b, the second column rather. One night a dark crowd knocked at my door. They say we have come back from Jerusalem where we did not find what we sought. You have what we desire, your light. So the seven sermons, I think we can see as his answer to 20th century European despair, particularly about the war. We are so far removed from that, it's almost hard to imagine. One of my very first analysands in Zurich was her earliest memory when she was three. She was in Dresden during the firebombing, and her uncle running to her on fire and burning up dead in front of her. That's just part of life there. And my colleague has a practice in Zurich. His office mate was also in the firebombing in Dresden. So we're just so separated from that horror. And I think in the face of that, the sensitive personality said, well, how can God exist if this is what's going on? So he's attempting to answer that. And the dead are the ones asking those questions. And they say, we have come back from Jerusalem where we could not find what we thought. And then Philemon starts to talk and lectures them as an answer to that question. I'll just give you a list of what I've made of. I try to summarize each sermon in a sentence. The first sermon is about the Pleroma. We'll look at these each in detail. And the second sermon is about God and the devil. And it introduces Abraxas. I really like Abraxas. And then the third one is about Abraxas. And we looked at, I brought it back, the picture from Santana's album, Abraxas. It's astounding. I did some digging on it, how accurate it is to what we're talking about. Then the fourth lecture is on the multiplicity. And the fifth and sixth on spirituality and sexuality. So I think we
both.
Both are. And both about the relationship between spirituality and sexuality. So I think we've been right to emphasize that.
Your comment on the second zone, you're talking about the picture on the album?
Yeah.
We're talking about the album.
The picture on the album. Yeah. I thought you'd like that, John. For all us old rock and rollers. And then the seventh one, man is a gateway. Now, okay, so the first one's about the Pleroma. And that goes from 346, second column, to 348, second column. I'll just summarize it. The Pleroma is a Gnostic term for, roughly speaking, heaven. But heaven, for them, was the realm of undifferentiated potential. It was made up of opposites. So it was the world of what was waiting to be created. And it existed in the form of polarities. And that's exactly Jung's concept of the unconscious. So you can see how he took his concept of the unconscious from the Gnostics. Where for Freud, remember, it's a garbage pail. For Jung, it's a world of unlived potential. And then he starts in on something that he's going to follow through. That the blood fields of the West, Philemon refers to them as the result of discarding God. They discarded God, but they didn't know of the Pleroma. That's 348, the second column. So I'm going to anticipate, because I know, John, you haven't heard this yet. The idea Jung is going to work with is that war was motivated by the parts of human nature not symbolized in the Christian image of God. And he's going to propose a different image of God, namely Abraxas. And Abraxas is everything. So that he's trying to change our understanding of what God is to widen it. That's it in a nutshell. But what I think is so important is how he starts off talking about the Pleroma, but quickly then goes to the blood fields. And it's that we've had such a limited view of human nature, it had to burst out. And where you might hear the point of view, well, the war showed Christianity wasn't working, or Christendom wasn't working. Jung's point of view is, no, it shows it is doing what it says it does, and what it says it does is far too narrow. Then the second sermon. So the first sermon, just the Pleroma, a world of potential and opposites having to do with the blood on the battlefield. Second is about God and the devil. Now, this is my attempt to put it into normal language. What Jung is saying, or what Philemon is saying, is, you know, no matter what you say God is, how you live is what God is. And in other words, he's saying to the good Christians, you talk about God in one way, but you live war in another. God is the effectiveness of your life. So on 349, the first column, effective emptiness is the essence of the devil. So the devil would be that part of the God image which is actually creating world events. Again, first column, devil always belongs to God. And then he introduces Abraxas, a god above God. And that god is, he calls it force, duration, and change. So that the war is actually, how can I say it? You have to look at where you, how you live in the world. And how you live in the world is God. It's not what you say, it's what you live. And since we're living war, God is war. And until we can realize that there's a split between what we say and what we live, war will continue. And Abraxas then would be this God above God. It's an attempt, don't take it too literally, it's an attempt to widen what we consider sacred. And Abraxas is a warrior. And he's a monstrosity. And it's a Gnostic god. And he introduces that, and the dead say, tell us more about the highest god. And here is the cover of Abraxas.
Yeah, thank you.
By Santana. Now, interestingly, well, that's rock and rollers. This was the original cover was Hereover. And this, I dug around all the different record albums on the web anyway. This was on the back. And this was this is what the cover looked like. But you see, it's just part of the picture. Now, I dug up the artist who did this. I've never heard of him.
He's that colleague of mine in the society. Remember I told you?
Well, I haven't heard of him.
Well, I brought all this in, remember?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But what we didn't do, we didn't get into the picture. And the picture is astoundingly in sync with what we're talking about. Here's what, the guy's name, you know, Matt?
Maddie.
Maddie, what do you know his first name?
M-A-T-I.
That's his first name?
Clairvine.
He's right. Clairvine. And he's Dutch?
I think he's... I'll have to look it up. I think he's Austrian.
He might be Austrian. I think you're right.
I think.
Yeah, that's it. That would be an Austrian name. Clairvine would be clear wine. And Carlos Santana saw this in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And picked it then for the album cover. But this is what the author or the artist says. A winged and tattooed Gabriel. And Gabriel's not tattooed in the Bible as far as I know. Is depicted astride a Congo drum.
Mm-hmm.
See how all these elements are now mixed together? And it's giving a much fuller picture of divinity. Pointing heavenwards toward a Hebrew Aleph, which is apparently the first letter. And it means the beginning. This is the part I love. With a dark-skinned and naked Mary Mike, you don't see that in a Catholic church. Surrounded by images of fertility. So look how Mary has changed. Exactly, she is embodying the snake, just like we've been talking about.
Black Madonna.
But even the Black Madonna is not that sexy.
No, right.
And she's there in all her glory. Mm-hmm. And look where the bird is.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I couldn't, so I had to say that. That's the Holy Spirit. See what it's getting? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that took like the unconscious, but being expressed.
That's the self-portrait of mine.
And that's, yeah, there.
Right there.
Oh. Well, you can tell him I went bananas over his picture.
He's dead now.
Is he? Don't tell him that. Now, let's see. Drums were always used to announce something. So this is announcing a new worldview. They were a medium of communication in Africa. To the left, three, I think it's pronounced Wadobi. Charm dancers, perhaps representing the three kings and an image of Matty himself. Now these three guys are members of a tribe in Africa where the men dress up at puberty and dance, and the women pick their mate from among the dancers. And that's the new three kings. What a shift.
The one in the middle has a replica of the Gabriel figure.
That's true, I didn't even notice that, right.
Of what?
Of the Gabriel figure up there in those feathers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they, you Google them if you want. I was going to bring along, but I didn't want to take up too much time. There's videos of their dances. I mean, they spend, I mean, this is the big deal. This is when you pick your wife, or your wife picks you. And they make up, they dance. It's an incredibly elaborate ritual.
How old are they when they do this?
Teens.
Sort of like these pictures of birds where you see the male.
Yeah. Oh, and they're so proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like they want to look hot because they want the hot chick. And they go to enormous lengths. So all of that, you see, and that really is Abraxas. The sexuality of Mary, the phonic aspect of the three kings, the fertility image.
Did that guy from Santana know anything about Jung when he chose Maddie's imagery for a bracket?
I doubt it, but I don't know for sure.
That is quite the coincidence.
I mean, when I started reading this, I thought, well, I'll just check into this. I was flabbergasted how accurate it is to what Jung is dealing with. So all of this is sacred, but we don't. In the idea of the old man, the heavens, it is not symbolized.
I like the fact that you get to choose the guy who's the most creative.
I thought you might. He's the most beautiful and the best dancer.
Often beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Hottest car.
All the fruit with the seeds.
Yeah.
Who did you say the angel person, the winged person?
That's the one who announced to Mary she's pregnant.
Gabriel. I thought Gabriel was a man.
Yeah, I did too.
Was.
Okay. There's a
I am just astounded by that picture.
And why the Jewish symbol, Bubby?
I don't know, other than...
He lived in Israel, and he was partly influenced by Judaism.
He wasn't a Jew himself?
I don't think so, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think I would say at least it's...
He had Islamic influence.
Yeah.
He had Jewish influence and Christian influence.
They were pointing to the new beginning.
Yeah.
But why a Jewish symbol, the new beginning? It seems to me he's trying to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least. It probably has other meanings.
Well, at least he was expressing the atmosphere he was in, too.
I think it's the integration of both the opposites is pointing towards the new beginning.
Yeah.
Be interesting now to see other works by him.
What was his last name again?
M. Is it what? M.
That's his first name. Mati.
Oh, Klarwein. K L A R W E I N. M A T I K L A R W E I N. And the painting is called The Annunciation. And it must be small. 128 centimeters. What's that? That's about...
I don't think it's small.
128 centimeters. That would be... 4 feet, huh? I guess it's not small. It's 4 feet.
Right.
Yeah. Wonder where it is.
I can ask.
But originally it was in a magazine. It reproduced in a magazine, and then he got rights to it for his album cover.
That's what it says here, yeah?
Right.
Years, let's see, I'll read you what he says. Annunciation is the first painting I painted after my initial New York awakening. I was 28 years old and at the peak of my molecular bioenergy. You can feel the sudden burst of the Big Apple's eclectic zap in the composition after all those early years of adolescent brooding over potatoes and eggs and the romantic nostalgia of the preceding flight to Egypt. In those days, I had an obsessional passion for the female body that lasted deep into my 30s, to be replaced by rock and stones. Years later, Carlos Santana saw a reproduction of the Annunciation in the magazine and wanted it for the cover of his all-time best-selling Abraxas album. It did me a world of good. I saw the album pinned to the wall in a shaman's mud hut in Niger, and made a Rastafarian's gun and inside a Rastafarian's ganja hauling truck in Jamaica. I was in good global company. I guess it's Spanish. Many thanks, Carlos. The text above is edited extracts from Maddie's book, Collected Works, 1959-1975. A detailed explanation of the biblical meaning of the Annunciation can be found on Wikipedia. It is the revelation by the angel Gabriel to Mary that she would conceive a child to be born the Son of God.
And there's that column that's in all the Renaissance paintings.
Yeah.
Which one?
Right there, this column. Separates the angel from the human in the Annunciation part. If you look at anybody that did
it. Here,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. There we go. This column here separates the piece. In fact, it looks like it, I don't know, somebody's folded or something.
No, but Mary is even on the line.
Well, see, that's what I find interesting, because Gabrielle is crossing the line with her hand, and she is crossing the line with her shoulder.
That line is a concrete block.
Yeah, it's part of blocks.
But it just happens to line up with the comb.
Yeah, right, it lines right up with it.
Yeah. Carl, were you going to say something?
He just said that the line was the concrete blocks on the wall.
Mm-hmm. What's up in the right hand, top right hand corner where the alarm thing is?
That's a shield or something.
Yeah, what it looks like.
Is that tusks?
Yeah, they do look like tusks. Oh, look at that.
Bring the pointer just down. Now, what is that, please? Would anybody know? That looks like cosmetic.
It's a
toilet.
Makeup and stuff. Oh, Carolyn, I just went to a lecture where they talked about divining with mirrors, and that looks very much like divining with a mirror. Huh. Oh, I'm guessing. That is fascinating. Oh, my God.
I know, it's astounding, isn't it? I was absolutely enchanted by just digging into it a little bit.
And the veil has been discarded down here.
Uh-huh.
Woo! Oh my God.
See, that's a new revelation.
I guess.
And that's what Jung is, I believe, trying to articulate. We really are at a cusp of a new revelation, on which the future of the world depends. Well, we got as far as, say, the second sermon. I think we should easily be able to finish next time. So I think we're okay. We will finish up next time. If we don't take the whole time, have in mind anything you might want to say, any image you want to bring. If we do take the whole time, we'll do that in the very last class, and then we'll pick up with Job in the fall.
So next time's the last class?
No, two more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so next time we'll finish up with this, and then if we have time, we'll start our personal reflections. If not, we'll put our personal reflections on the last class, and also Carol's opinion. We'll just eat and talk and reflect in a mood of celebration. Exaltation. Okay. Thank you. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.